It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Friday the 5th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. For the second time in a matter of weeks, a grand jury has declined to indict police officers who killed black men in the course of their law enforcement duties. The result of these decisions, protests, dismay, and questions about the delivery of justice in America. In response, New York City is accelerating a program to fit police officers with body cameras. Some officers will be wearing those cameras on patrols this morning. The city wants to outfit every officer on the street with cameras in the future. To help us understand the implications of this new technology, we've got co-founder of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society, Jonathan Zittrain. Professor Zittrain, how are you?
Thank you, Ben.
We're familiar with cops and how police dashboard cameras have been used in that show for years. Does using a body camera open up new legal territory here?
It absolutely does. But as a first cut, this isn't happening on a blank table. There is significant distrust in many communities between the law enforcement people and the citizens. And being able to have a record of what's going on, even in routine interactions, may well be a very, very helpful tool.
Might it also be thorny? Do officers get to turn the cameras on and off? How do you establish rules for this sort of thing?
There absolutely need to be best practices, both in how the cameras are used and in the technical back end, too.
You, of course, anticipated my next question. What happens in terms of storage here and data? And what if there's some really sensitive video that is then hacked and stolen and distributed to ill ends?
Yep. And we're going to have to maybe even borrow from the likes of, dare I say, the healthcare industrial complex. At least here, we're starting in many places right from the beginning and can try to design in lessons from where other fields have gone astray.
What about in a court of law and evidence when it comes to footage from these cameras?
Well, there's going to be the garden variety issues of being able to authenticate the footage and such. The bigger questions are going to be when you have that video, how to interpret it. And when lawyers get to it, they'll go frame by frame and try to explain. Figuring out the surrounding context will be vitally important, both in a court of law and in the court of public opinion.
Rules about the edit.
And even when you have an edit that's like straight to tape, nothing cut, nothing added.
Right.
There still may well be surrounding circumstance. And the thing is, if we don't figure it out with the police lapel cams, there's going to be citizens with cameras too. And I think that's a huge reason why you see a lot of law enforcement resistance to this kind of scrutiny. A lot of that has attenuated because they know that they're going to get recorded anyway. They'd rather have their version as well rather than just the version that might come forward from the iPhone next door.
Harvard's Jonathan Zittrain. Jonathan, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
By the way, Professor Zittrain pointed out to me that he didn't think lapel or body cameras for police officers were the solution to the problem necessarily. Another reminder that new technology means new promise, but also new problems to solve. It's Friday, and that means Silicon Valley time. Today, my guest, Rusty Foster. He makes one of the best newsletters about the internet. It's called Today in Tabs. Rusty, are you ready to play the game where we try and stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
I'm so ready.
I got a number for you. Half of all Italian divorce cases.
Can I have a hint?
WhatsApp?
Oh, half of them like triggered by I am cheating or include evidence from instant messages?
You're getting warm. The messaging service WhatsApp is cited in nearly half of all Italian divorce cases. It's now the most common way that spouses find out their partner is cheating on them.
I guess it's good to find out.
All right, what do you got for me?
It's 31 participants.
Oh, man.
The hint is that it would have been higher, except one of the participants forgot her robot on the train and went and had a beer instead.
Does it have to do with like a robot pub crawl or something?
31 was the number of participants in HaboCon, which was a robot fighting contest for robots made by people who have no technical skill whatsoever. Some of the entries did things like shake a packet of powdered soup. The video of this just came out on YouTube, is why the world is suddenly hearing about this.
Fair enough. All right, I got another one for you. 12 years old.
The last age I got a good night's sleep. I don't know. No, I need a hint.
This also has to do with YouTube.
Is it the average age of a YouTube commenter?
That is a very good guess. Google has said it's working on censored versions of its services for kids 12 and under. Do 12-year-olds use Gmail? I guess they must these days, right?
I don't know. I have a 10-year-old, and she has a Gmail, but I don't think she knows how to even look at it.
Or is she even interested?
Hopefully she never, ever will.
All right, you got something else for me?
Okay, this number is 40 gigabytes.
Oh, 40 gigs.
I feel like you could get this. It's like big news.
Really?
Yeah. All right, so 40 gigs is the amount of data that was leaked from the Sony breach.
Of course.
And so far the leading speculation is that it was North Korea, and that it's
right.
Because they're mad about the Interview movie coming out.
Right, or it's Sony with an amazingly smart viral marketing campaign.
Is it sick that I had that thought? What if it's all fake? And
if
it's literally a viral marketing campaign. I would bow down to them.
It would be a brilliant marketing campaign, but then I would just have to stop believing the internet forever.
You clearly have not already stopped believing the internet forever, then.
Rusty Foster writes the Today in Tabs newsletter. We suggest you absolutely sign up and read it. Rusty, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Remember, there's a special listener version of Silicon Tally on our website. It's at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.